Today's daf is Psachim Daf Peches, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Zayin Omid Beis, the 2 dots, Toni Reb Chia. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Dvorah Bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Moshe Abed ben Dvorah, Miril Bas Sara Rivka, Sara Etya Bas Liba, Doiv ben Dvorah Miril, and Bela Bas Shendel Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miril, and today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibod Lechayim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So yesterday we began the 8th parak of Masechtas Pesachim, which discusses laws in Hilchos Korban Pesach. It's been the topic of the last several dafin, but immediately, the Gemara digressed and went into some real agada de Gemara. The backdrop of the 8th parak, which will be the topic of the second part of today's daf, is the halacha that the Korban Pesach was only allowed to be eaten by someone that was manui on the Korban Pesach. Meaning, you had to reserve a portion of the Korban Pesach. You had a proverbially speaking, RSVP on a Korban Pesach, in order for you to be able to eat and fulfill your mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. And the Mishnah discussed a married woman who has a husband and a father. Her husband and her father both brought the Korban Pesach and had in mind this woman. The husband was thinking about his wife and the father was thinking about his daughter. The question is, which Korban Pesach does she belong to? Meaning, do we say that whichever carbon her husband had in mind, that's her kezias, that's the way she has to fulfill her mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach? Or maybe, despite the fact that she's married, maybe we look at it in terms of her father. And the Mishnah said that it depends. Is it the first yontif? Is it not the first yontif? Then the Gemara brought a brisa that seemed to have a different understanding of what the halach is. And the Gemara came out that really it's not a stira, because you have to know what type of woman or what type of marriage we're dealing with. Kam b'redufa leilech, kam b'she'ena redufa leilech. There's an idea of a married woman, she's always running home. And then there's an idea of a married woman, she's settled, she stays together with her husband. And depending on whether she's a redufa leilech lebeis aviyah, or she's not a redufa leilech lebeis aviyah, that will dictate, that will determine these halachas in Hilchos Korban Pesach. So the Gemara said, oh, there's an idea of a married woman that maybe is not so comfortable in her husband's house or in her in-law's house, but rather she's always going back to her father. So on that note, the Gemara brought a pasuk in Hoshea Perek Beis, V'hoye b'yoy mahun no'um Hashem tikri ishi v'loy tikri li oid b'ayli, which Rabbi Yochanan Darshan means that in the end of days, the Yidden are going to be like a kala b'veis chameha, and not like a kala b'veis aviyah. We spoke out from the Chassam Sofer, some of the Pnimiyus HaTorah, of exactly what that means. Regardless, this concept of there being a kala who's comfortable b'veis chameh, and a kala not being comfortable b'veis chameh, that's the first sugya here in the laws of Korban Pesach as it relates to the menuyin. So we digressed with that pasuk in Isaiah, and from there we went into a deep dive of the story in the beginning of Sefer Hosea, the very puzzling Nevuah, and some of the significance and different ideas that the Amiram extrapolated from it. Now, one of the things that were mentioned was the Gemara said, Omer Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, Lehigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaSisrael Abeinu Umois, Elo Kidei SheYitoisfu Aleihem Geim. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Yidden into Galus is so, like this, when the Yidden will be in Galus, they'll be able to convert Gentiles. Like this, they'll be Moisiv Geir. We mentioned for Rab Tzadik in the name of Darizal and the Svarim HaKadosh, but it doesn't literally mean conversions, but it means to be Maila all the Netzoitzes, the Kedusha that's at the root of all the Tumah that is at the root of all the chayil, that all becomes kadosh when the yidden interact with that tumah, with that chayil. They somehow unlock that. And that's what Chazal meant when they said, Kedei sheyitoisfu aleihem geir. But why was this Chazal mentioned? Because the Gemara brought 2 makaris from it. One makar was a pasuk in Sefer Hosh. Actually, 2 makaris in Sefer Hosheya. Because the pasuk says, Vizirati ali ba'aretz, virichamti esle ruchamah, Either way, it was another idea that was learned out from Hoshea Perek Beis, the topic of the daf via the digression was Hoshea Perek Beis. So we discussed a little bit that idea. Either way, so we're discussing the Yidden going into Galus. So the Gemara is going to continue its digression and talk a little bit more about that. Now, Tani Rebchi, another classic Gemara. This is not a pasuk in Sefer Hoshea, but rather this is a pasuk in Sefer Iyov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the ways of the Yidden and therefore, Hashem knew her place. So, Lekim Haven is Darka, but who Yada Asmakai? What does this mean? Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yisrael. So, Rabbi Chiya said it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the Yidden. And he realized she'eni yicholim the kabel gzeres achzorius edem, that it would be impossible for them to be able to endure the cruel and unusual decrees of Edom. B'fikach hegla itzam lebavel. It's for that reason Hashem sent the Yidden to Bavel. So, the first time the Jewish nation went into Galus. The Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the Midbar, they go to Eretz Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim went to Galus, but not the entire Jewish nation. The first time the entire Jewish nation went to Galus was when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his Sar HaTabachim, Nebuzradon, and after he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he took the Yidden with him to Bavel. He was the king of Bavel, he was Maishal Bekipa, so to a degree he was the king of the world, but he was the king of Bavel, that was his homeland, and that's where he brought the Jews with him. So the first Galus the Yidden went to was Galus Bavel. So Rabbi Chiya said the reason Hashem sent the Yidden to Bavel is because he realized that was the only land where the Yidden would be able to survive and even thrive. Meaning, he could have sent them to Edom, but he chose not to. The reason is because he understood she'en yicholim lekabel gzeiros achzorius. That Amr Rabbi Elazar said, lo yegla kadosh baruch as Yisrael lebavel elu b'nei she'amuka kishael. The reason Hashem sent Yidden to Bavel is because geographically it's very low, the land. It's so low, it's like she'oil. So what? She'nemar, and the pasuk says, miyad she'oil efteim mimaves egolim. There was a nevuah that Hoshea said, ironically, that miyad sha'oil eftem. Hashem said, I'm going to redeem the Jews from sha'oil. So there was somehow etched in that if the Yidden are in sha'oil, they're going to be redeemed. Bavel met the characteristics of sha'oil because it was very deep. So Rabbi Elazar says, that's why Hashem sent the Yidden to Bavel, because he felt that that's a skula for them ultimately to be redeemed. Rabbi Chanina said a different reason. Because in Bava they spoke Aramaic, and Aramaic is very similar to Lashon Kodesh. So he felt it'd be easy for the Yidden to adjust and to be able to adapt to the local language. If they would have gone to a nation where they didn't speak the local language, it would have been more challenging. So being that the language that the Babylonians spoke was very similar to the language that the Yidden spoke, so it's for that reason he sent Rabbi Yochanan said a different reason. The reason Hashem sent the Yidden to Bavel is because that's originally where the Yidden had come from. Judaism began in Iraq. Therefore, even though Bavel is not the home of the Yid, but it's the proverbial Beis Iman. So a girl that marries a man, so she leaves her parents' house, and now she goes and lives together with her husband. So her Beis Iman, meaning the house that she grew up in, as it relates to Klal Yisrael, that was Bavel. Rashi says, how do you know that? Because Avraham Avinu, which is when the story of the Jewish people begins, Me'ur Kazdim Yatzah, came from Ur Kazdim. And Ur Kazdim was in Bavel. So said Rabbi Yochanan, I'll explain to you what a mashal. There was a man who was very upset at his wife. Lehechon Mishagra, and he sent her out of the house. So what did he send? He said, go back to your mother's house. That's exactly what Hashem did. Hashem took Avraham Avinu, who originally was from Ur Kazdim. Eventually, after centuries, the Yidden end up in Eretz Yisrael. And then when the Yidden sinned and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, he was kas al ishtoi. So where did Hashem send the Yidden? Back to where he had taken them from. Where did he take them from? Not Mitzrayim. The story of the Jewish people starts way before that. He sent them back to Ur Kazdim, and that's why the Yidden ended up in Bal. I know the Rabbi Sandri, the Amash, Shleisha Chazal Matasan. And this is where Rabbi Sandri meant when he said there were three things that went back to where they all began. Elohein, Yisrael, Kesef Mitzrayim, Uksavlut, Yisrael, Hadamar. Where do you find that the Yidden went back to where they started? Galus Bavel. The Jewish story began in Bavel, and after the first Galus, they went back to Kasim Mitzrayim. Dichzev Vayi B'Shana Chamishas Melech Rechavan Olah Shishak Melech Mitzrayim Al Yerushalayim. And Shishak Melech Mitzrayim took with him a lot of money from the Jews. This was the money he was taking back. The Yidden had all the Bizas Mitzrayim, so all that money didn't last forever, and eventually went back to its original source. And Ksav Haluchos Dichzev Ashabrim Leinechem. Moshe Rabbeinu said that I broke the Luchos, and it was Leinechem. What does that mean? Tana, we learned in a braisa. So, luchos nishberu, v'oisiyos parchos. Rashi says, the luchos, the physical luchos broke, but the oisiyos, the ksav of the luchos, that was floating in the air. So where do you see that in the word leinechem? The last Rashi. Kolema, dover peleri isim sham. Shehoayim poinu l'stakovoy. V'ashabram leinechem, when I broke the luchos, you saw something that was out of this world. You saw oisiyos that were parchos ba'avir. Where did the oisiyos go? They went back up to Shemayim. They went back to its source. So these are the three things that went back to their source. Why are we talking about this? Because one of them is the Jewish people. The Jewish people went back to their source. When was this? By Churban Bayis Rishon. When the Yidden went to Galus, they went to Galus Bavel. Why are we talking about that? Oh, because we were discussing the Yidden Galus based on Pesukim and Aishay. Why are we talking about Pesukim and Aishay? Oh, because the first Mishnah, the first halach of the Perek, has something to do with a kala that's redufa leilech lebeis avia, kala beveis chamea. So this is all part of the digression. Ula said a different reason. He said, "Kadei sheyoichlu tamarin." The reason Hashem sent them to Bavel, not because of the language, has nothing to do with that's base iman, has nothing to do with the fact that the Babylonians were going to be nicer to the Jews than were the Romans, but simply because they were dates. And Hashem wanted the Yidden to be able to eat these tamarim v'yaskeh b'Torah, because that would give them the ability to learn Torah. The point is, dates, apparently, are good for a person. And as a result, if you need strength to be able to learn Torah, in the spirit of an ein kemach, ein Torah, so Bavel was actually a very good place to live. And where it says, on that note, an anecdote. Ulu was once a Pumpadisa. Krivele Tirina de Tamri. They brought him a basket of dates. Amalui told him, I mean, how many of these can I get for a zuz? Amalui, they told him, plus bezuzah, you can get three for a zuz. Amar. So Ula said, it's so easy for a person to satiate himself. I could literally buy three dates that are going to keep me going for hours for a zuz. Nothing. It doesn't cost a lot of money. And the Bavloim, they don't learn Torah, meaning he felt that if it's so easy to learn, they should be learning more. The Gemara says, Ula ate the dates, and Balayla Tzaru, and he had a negative reaction to the dates. Omar, he said, the next morning, Maloit Sana Sama de Musa Bezuza Bavava. I see now that for a zuz, you can get a basket full of Sama de Musa, poison. Ubavloi Aski Bayraisa, and still the Babylonians, they learn Torah. So he says, to the contrary, I realize now how impressed I am. This is what they eat, and they're still able to learn Torah. That says, Vahokhu Amim Rabim. The Omru, and they are going to say, Lechu Venala El Harashem, El Beis. So this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, and it describes the end of Galus. That the Amim Rabim are all going to say, let's climb the mountain, let's go to the base of Likei Yaakov. Says the Gemara, Likei Yaakov, Lei Akev, Roman Yitzchok. Why are we referring to Har Hashem, which is the Har HaMoriah? The base of Likei Yaakov is the base HaMikdash. So why are we referring to it as the base of Likei Yaakov? Why not the base of Avram? Why not the base of Likei Yitzchok? So the Gemara says, Alalei Kavram Shekasev Bayhar. The reason the mountain in the end of days is being referred to as Beis Elokei Yaakov, because it was Yaakov, the Gemara is going to say, that referred to the Beis HaMikdash as a bias. Therefore, Beis is Elokei Yaakov, meaning not like Avraham Avinu, who referred to the Beis HaMikdash as a mountain. Shenema Asher Yeyomer Hayoim Behar Hashem Yeirah. V'loi ki Yitzchak Shekasa Beisadeh. Shenema Vayetze Yitzchak Vasuach Basadeh. And where did Yitzchak go to daven? He went to daven Mincha, he went to daven for a Shidduch, but where was it? Where was this field? It was the Har HaMoriah. It was the Makom HaMikdash. So Yitzchak referred to the Har HaMoriah as being a field. Elok Yaakov Shekar HaBayis. Yaakov was the one that referred to it as a bias. Shenemer, as the pasuk says, Vayikra Hashem HaMakom Ahu Beis El. And what was that Makom? That Makom was the Beis HaMikdash. He referred to it as bias. So therefore, in the end of days, it's V'hochu Amim Rabim V'amr Luchu V'nala El Har Hashem El Beis Elokei Yaakov. The Marshal Chedushi Agadah says that the reason we're referring to the Beis HaMikdash in the end of days as bias is because he says bias Rishon was symbolized, Ayin Sham, by Ahar. So really, when Avraham Avinu referred to the Beis HaMikdash as Ahar, it was corresponding to bias Rishon. Bayesheni, the Marsha, explains in his way, was a sadeh. So when Yitzchak referred to the Makam HaMikdash as a sadeh, he was referring to Bayesheni. Yaakov Avinu, when he said, Vayikra Shem HaMakam Ahu Beisel, he was referring to Bayeshlishi. So Yeshaya, who's describing Bayeshlishi, he's referring to a prophecy that's going to happen in the end of days. Vahochu Amim Rabim, Vahomru Lechu Venalel Har Hashem, El Beisel Ekenu, Lo'asad Lava, it's going to be a bias. So that's Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu is bias. That is in fact referring to the end. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, one more Dvar HaGadol. Galu Kibitz Galus Kem Shenivr Bay Shemayim Vahar. The day that all the exiles are going to be gathered, the kibbutz goliath, the tkab b'shoifer gadol l'cheruseinu. When is this? That day is going to be such a great day, as great as the day that heaven and earth were created. Shenem, as the pasuk says, v'nikvitzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdav v'samu lehem roish echad v'alu min ha'aretz ki gadol yom Yisrael. V'ksiv, and the pasuk says, v'ayhi erev v'ayhi boiker yom echad. That pasuk, which, by the way, is a pasuk in Hosea. So we started the Dvar HaGadol with Hosea, and we're ending with Hosea. But it talks about the v'nikbetzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdav. This is kibbutz goliath. And it says, ki gadol yoim. What is yoim? That's the first day of creation. As the pasuk says, v'yehi erev, v'yehi boiker yoim echad. So just to be mafsik between the Divrei HaGadol and the rest of the daf, which is going to return to the regular program, which is the laws of Korban Pesach, just one ha'ara. So the Gemara says that Avram Avinu referred to the Beis HaMikdash as a mountain. Yitzchak referred to it as a sada. Yaakov referred to it as a bias. So where do you find that Yaakov Avinu referred to it as a bias? Because the pasuk says, v'yikro eshem ha'mokem mahu beisel. Incidentally, this idea of Yaakov Avinu referring to the Makam HaMikdash as a bias, I think, is consistent with a theme that you find with Yaakov Avinu. And that is an incredible midah of tznius. Right? The pasuk says that Yaakov was an ishtam yoshev oihalim. He sat in tents, he wasn't seen. His avodah was to sit in a vinkel with a shtender and a rajba, and that was what Yaakov Avinu did. He was an ishtam yoshev oholim. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Megillah that for 14 years, Yaakov Avinu hid himself. Literally, he was hidden bebeis shein ve'ever. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that he was so hidden that even the Malachim didn't know where he was. No one knew where he was. Yaakov was hiding from Esav. But he was in such a discreet location that no one knew where he was. But that's Yaakov. That's the midah of tznius. The Torah says that the Yontif of Sukkot is connected Yaakov. The Torah says the Sholeish Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they were karisman to the three Avos. So Pesach is connected Avram, and Shavuos is connected Yitzchak, and Sukkot is connected Yaakov. What's a Sukkah? We say it in L'Dovet Hashem, Oyri V'Yishi, Ki Yitzbeneini B'Sukkah. We hide in the Sukkah, because that's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is an Ishtam Yoshev Aholim. Yaakov Avinu was Hitman Atzmai B'Beit Shem V'Ever Yodal Shonim. That's this midah. Yaakov Avinu was Mesakim, which Tefillah? Arvis. Avram Shachris, Yitzchak was Mincha, and Yaakov was Mayrev. Mayrev you daven when it's dark, when nobody sees. Yet Mayrev is something that you do by Lailo. Meir Simcha says in Meshech Chochma that Hashem, when he revealed himself to Yaakov, always came to him at night. So Pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, the dream that Yaakov has in Parshas Vayetze, the Chaloim, it happened at night. He keeps on revealing himself to him by night, because Yaakov's Midah is a Midah of at night. We find the idea of Levadoi by Yaakov. Vayivaser Yaakov Levadoi. Yaakov was alone. That's the Midah of Tznius. How alone was Yaakov? Hadol dechsiv v'niskov Hashem Levadoi. The Levadoi of Vayivaser Yaakov Levadoi was a me'ein of v'niskov Hashem Levadoi. The v'niskov Hashem Levadoi is not punk, nobody's around. It's a midah be'etzem. Hashem is levadoi. Ein noid levadoi. Yaakov's levadoi has a shaychus of the ein noid levadoi. But the point is, this idea of levadoi, this idea of being hidden, this idea of laivo, it's a midah of tznius that you find by Yaakov Avinu. Avram Avinu referred to the mountain. He referred to the Beis HaMikdash as a har. A har is completely exposed. Yitzchak referred to it as a sada. It's also exposed. Maybe a little less so. You have a fence around a sada. What Yaakov Avinu referred to it as? He referred to it as a bias. But what's interesting is that this whole idea, this pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Beisel, is really a little bit of a difficult pasuk. Why? Because look at the end of the pasuk. V'ulam, however, Luz Shem Mo'ir L'Rishayna. Meaning, this pasuk, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Beisel, is not referring to Yerushalayim. Not referring to the Beis HaMikdash. V'ulam Luz Shema Yerla Rishayna. This place was known as Luz. Yaakov Avinu referred to it as Beis. So this is Beisel, right? It's Bethel. That's what it is. It's not Yerushalayim. It's not the Makom HaMikdash. So what's Pashup Shah? So the truth is that Rashi, in Parashas Vayetze, it's a long Rashi, this explains that the Parashas Vayetze begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. So Yaakov Avinu was in Be'er Sheva, Chazal say, he was learning at Yeshiva of Shein Ve'Ever for 14 years, and now he's going to Haran. The reason he was going to Haran was because he had to do a Shidduch. He was going to get married. And his father told him, like his father had told him, that you can't marry anyone from the Benois Kenan. So you're going to have to go to Haran, go to my Mishpacha, go to my Shvagalavan. That's what Yitzchak told him. And that's where you're supposed to get married. Yaakov goes to Haran, Rachel, Leah, 14 years, the Shvatim, and of course the rest is history. The Pasuk says, Vayivka b'makoyim, Vayolon shom kivah ha-shemesh, and Yaakov Avinu lies down, he has a dream, Sula mutzavartza, v'roisha magi ha-shemaymo, v'inei malach elikim oylem v'yordim. Now if you go through the Pasuk, from the Pasuk itself, it sounds like, where did this all take place? Vayikra shema makam ahu Beisel, v'ulam luz shema yod rishoyin. It sounds like this all happened in Beisel. It happened in Luz. That's where this all happened. But Chazal tells us the rest of the story. Again, Rashi brings in a Chumash and Parashas Vayetze. We all know this. And that is that really Yaakov Avinu's dream did not happen in Beisel. Really it happened on the Haram Eiria. Really it happened in the Makam HaMikdash. But the Pasuk doesn't seem to suggest that. So quoting the Gemara Masechtes Chulin, Daf Tzadik Aleph, Yaakov Avinu went to Haran. And he had Kfitzas HaDerech, meaning the land of Yerushalayim, of the Makam HaMikdash, picked itself up, it moved, it met Yaakov Avinu to where he was, and that's where this all happened. So, Enochanami, Yaakov Avinu physically wasn't really in the Makam HaMikdash. But at the same time, Vayikra Shema Makam Ahu Beisel is referring to the Beis HaMikdash via this incredible miracle that took place, via this idea of Kfitzas HaDerech. But either way, Yaakov Avinu had gone towards, back to Haran, Vayetze Yaakov Miber Sheva Vayelech Harana, and then all of a sudden this incredible miracle takes place, and it's because of this Kfitzas HaDerech that happened that Yaakov Avinu finds himself being back in Yerushalayim. Just to end with one Chassam Sofer, and that is, Chassam Sofer says in the beginning of Parashas Vayetze that you find that Yaakov Avinu had Kfitzas HaDerech, and you find that Eliezer Eved Avram also had Kfitzas HaDerech. Yaakov Avinu had Kfitzas HaDerech, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana, and then somehow he ends up in Yerushalayim. And Eliezer Eved Avram also did. Avram Avinu sent Eliezer, he says, I want you to go find a wife for my son Yitzchak. So the Pasuk says, Va'ovay Hayoim El Ha'oyen. He says, I arrived today. How did he arrive today? I'll say that he had Kfitzas HaDerech. He was able to go very quickly. So the Chassam Sofer said that Yaakov Avinu had Kfitzas HaDerech, and Eliezer Eved Avram had Kfitzas HaDerech. He says, but if you think about it carefully, it was very different, the Kfitzas HaDerech. Yaakov Avinu was in Haran, and the Kfitzas HaDerech was that he ends up in the Makam HaMikdash. Eliezer Eved Avram was in Eretz Canaan, and the Kfitzas HaDerech was that he ended up in Haran. So it said, Chassam Sofer, this is Maisa of a similar banan, that there's going to be a day where everything is going to seem lost, and then in a moment, literally, Shuas Hashem Keherifayin, the Yidden are going to have Kfitzas HaDerech, and the next thing we know, we're going to be in the Harabayas, we're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, V'noichal Shom, and Azvachim, and Apsachim. He said the Kfitzas HaDerech is going to be that all the Yidden and all the Goliaths, the V'nikpitzu B'nei Yehuda, and U'B'nei Yisrael, Yachtov, and where we're going to end up? We're going to end up by the Beis HaLekeyakov. We're going to end up with the Kfitzas HaDerech that Yaakov Avinu had. That Kfitzas HaDerech, that's what all the Yidden are going to have. That's going to be the Maisa of a similar bond. Says, you know what the Maisa of a similar bonum of Eliezer was? Eliezer was Gvein Eved Avram. Eliezer was a Knani. It's going to be just the opposite. They're all going to, in one second, they're in Eretz Canaan, and they're knocking, and they have a seat at the table, and they're negotiating, and in one second, they're going to end up in Haran. The whole thing is going to come to an end. He said, it's not a coincidence. Avram, Yaakov's Maisa of a similar bonum was that he ended up in the Harabayas. The Maisa of a similar bonim, Eliezer Eved Avram, for his bonim, the way that's going to play itself out, they're going to end up outside of it. Either way, we'll come back to this a little bit in the raid, but for now we have a blot Gemara to learn. Zok the Gemara Vaitis. So the Mishnah said, Yasoim Sheshachtu Olav Apotropesen. So the first part of the Mishnah discussed a woman, a married woman, also has a father, and we're discussing her husband and her father both bought a carbon pesach on her behalf. So which carbon pesach does she belong to? The second halacha of the Mishnah was the Yasoim. What about a Yasoim who, Loyalenu, doesn't have a father? Sheshachtu all of apotropesin. In the event that Bezdin appointed these apotropesin to take care of this Yasoim, Now, apotropesin, in the plural, not one, but two, say, he's allowed to eat wherever he wants to eat. So if either one of these two apotropesin shechted a carbon Pesach on behalf of this Yosim, so he can pick and choose which Pesach he would rather, which chabur he wants to be a part. It would seem from here, ain't breira. Because as we mentioned yesterday, this decision needs to be made before the Shechita. It sounds like the Shechita happened already. And now, when it comes time to eat the meal, he shechted a lamb, he shechted a goat, I'd rather have the lamb, right? You can't do it now, it's too late. Unless you say yesh breira, that right now you can make a decision that will somehow define retroactively what had previously happened. I'm Rav Zera said, you have no right yesh breira. You know why? Because se lebayis mikol makon. The pasuk says, regarding the Karban Pesach, the yikhu lehem ish, se leveis avos, se lebayis. And we learn from here, an interesting halacha, that the boss, the balabayis, the father of the house gets to decide who's part of his Karban Pesach. So it's true, ordinarily you would need consent in order for someone to now be part of your Karban Pesach. But as it relates to the Baal HaBayis, he has some level of control as to his B'nai Bayis, which Karban Pesach they belong to. It's learned that because it says in the Torah, Sel HaBayis, and Chazal Darshan from there, Sel HaBayis Mikol Makom, that the Baal HaBayis can even do it forcefully. The apotropesin in this case were considered the Baal HaBayis of the Yosim. And as a result, if they decide that they want the Yosim to be part of theirs, they're going to end up being part of this. So the point is that this has nothing to do really with the child making a decision which one of the karbonis that he wants to be part of. Because that decision really doesn't have to be made. All you need now is a gilui das. Do I want to be part of this one? Do I want to be part of that one? If you needed the katan to actually decide, make this chalois kinyan to be from the menuyin on any one of these respective karbonas, so that you would have to come on to breira. And if you hold in breira, it wouldn't work. But being that all we need is a gilui das from him, not such a simple svara, that already would be it. Enough. So on this note, the Gemara digresses a little bit. Tanu Rabban and Sel Abayis, Malamich Adam Evi Vishaych Vaidei, Beno Yubita Yaktanim. A father can, without his child's consent, as long as his children are minors, that Ketanim, he can make them part of his Karban Pesach. Vaidei Abdev Shifchas Yaktanim. And the same is true for his Evet Kanani and his Shifcha Kananis. Bein Midaitim, Bein Shalim Midaitim, even if they never agree to it. Abel Eni Shaych Vaidei, Beno Yubita Yaktanim. But if a father has children that are adults, or if he has an Eved Ivri, or an Amma Ivriya, meaning he has an Eved and a Shivcha, but they're Yidin, or Vayat Ishta, his wife, Elamidah. Then already the only time he can appoint them to his Karban Pesach is they agree to it. Tanya Yidin, we learned in another Brisa, Yishchet Adam. And again, the same exact halacha. So the first part of this brice is identical to what we just said. That if you have a katan, yeah, so a father can force his katan onto his Karban Pesach. He doesn't need the katan to agree to it. If, however, the children are gedolim, or his wife, or an Eved Ivri, and an Amma Avriya, so then already he would need their das. If the children are katanim, or if the Eved is a Eved Kenan, the shivcha is a shivcha kananis, then you could do it even shalei midas. But kulon says the braisa sheshachtu, the shachat, what would be if they shechted their own carbon Pesach and he shechted one on their behalf? So what's the halacha? Rabbi Gamliel, shachat rabban alein, yoitzim b'shal rabban, v'ein yoitzim b'shal atzman. So then the halacha is if they shechted their own and he did it on their behalf, so they end up going together with their master, the Bryce explains, chutz min isha, with the exception of the isha sheyachayla limchos. Meaning, as it relates to ketanim, or an evit kanani, and a shivcha kananis, tzavir, the balabayis, can force the Karban Pesach on them, doesn't need their consent. If we're dealing with gedolim, or a man towards his wife, or an Eved Ivri and an Amma Avriya, so there the halach is, he would need their consent. Then the Bryson said that what would be if the master of the house shechted a Karban Pesach on their behalf, and then they shechted their own thing. So then the halach is that they automatically go together with the Rabban, as opposed to their own Karban Pesach, with the exception of the woman. And the reason the woman is different is because she could be moicha. So the Gemara says, Maishno Isha. Why would Isha be different? Meaning it sounds like only Isha, as opposed to even Bnoyu Bita Hagidoylan, and as opposed to the Eved Ivri and the Amma Ivriya. Up until this point, there were two groups as it relates to this halacha. You have the group of the Ketanim and the Knanim, and then you have the group of the Gedoilim, the Isha, and the Eved Ivri and the Amar Vriya. So if anything, it should be two groups. Amar Rabbi said, right, Isha v'chol d'damila. What it means is Isha v'chol d'damila. Okay, meaning in the event that they shechted their own carbon Pesach, I mean, they did their own thing, and now the father did it on their behalf. So as it relates to the group that the father can impose upon, so they're automatically with the father. If it's the group that the father or the master of the house cannot impose upon, so then they end up doing their own thing. Okay, very simple. But the Gemara says there's one diktuk in the Braisa that needs clarification. Hagu fakasha amrit. We started with the Braisa saying chutzmeno isha shiyachoylo limchos. Time of the machi, holoy machi, nafke b'shal baila. Meaning the Braisa said that very last line. V'kulan sheshachdu v'shachat rabban aleim yoytzim b'shal rabban ve'in yoytzim b'shal atzman chutzmeno isha shiyachoylo limchos. It sounds like a woman could protest. I mean, what does it sound like? It sounds like really the husband can impose upon his wife a carbon pesach. However, she has an out. If she wants to protest, she can protest. And we just said Isha's lav dafka. So the same would be true, let's say, for someone that has adult children. The father can impose upon Bnei Yubita Yagdoilim. However, if they want to be Meicha, it sounds like there could be Meicha. But let's say they wouldn't be Meicha. So then the halacha is they would count. Meaning the father doesn't need his children to sign off on allowing him to include them in his carbon pesach. It's just that if they're moicha, they're moicha. But at the same time, holoi machi, nafki b'shal baila, faktani reisha. But the reisha, the braisa started not that way. It said, v'loi al yedei ishtoi elomi daiton. What does that sound like? Hostam aloi nafka. It sounds like you need their consent. So again, it's a diktuk. We understand that the relationship between father and bnei b'tei ketanim and father bnei b'tei gedolim, between man and wife is different. It depends on what but there is a diktuk over here, because from one part of the braisa it sounds like min hastam, the husband can impose it on his wife, the father can impose it on bnei b'tei gedolim, the rabbi can impose it on Eved Ivri and Amar Vriya. It's just that if they want to be meicha, they can. And then there's another diktuk that sounds like they can't impose it at all. So the Gemara says, my ela mi daiton lavda amri in ela bistama lafuke. When it says Elam Midaiton, it doesn't mean that you actually need their consent. The Gemara assumes Midaiton means they actually have to sign off on it. The Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. What it means is that they could be Moicha. But Enochinami, Bistama, that's considered Daiton, and that's going to be okay. But the Gemara says, V'kulam sheshachta v'shachat rabban aleim, yoytze b'shal rabban, dibistama, v'chtani chutz min o'isha, mipnei shehi yuchayla limchoiz. Aye, if that's the case, meaning if you're going to tell me that Bistama, they're included, then how come in the Seifa, where the husband, let's just pick this case, shechted the carbon pesach, and the wife shechted her own carbon pesach. So what was the halacha? She ends up being with her own. She wasn't meicha. Where was she meicha? The Gemara says, what do you mean? I'm a rava. Even sheshachti in lochamicha galdem is that. The fact that she shechted her own carbon pesach, that's the biggest macha in the world. Going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, eved shel shnei shutfin. If you have an eved that belongs to two shutfin, so Reuben and Shimon have a business together, and they own an eved. So the halacha is, this eved lo yoichal mishel shneim. This eved is not allowed to eat from either one of them. Now just to clarify one point before we go weiter, and that is, an eved kenani was allowed to eat from the carbon pesach. Right, may sound a little surprising, because kol ben necher lo yoichal bay, kol ara lo yoichal bay. So why is an eved kenani allowed to eat from the carbon pesach? I mean, this is pashut, but it's worth mentioning. The reason is because an eved kenani, unbeknownst, when he became the eved of a yid, he had to go through a conversion process. Now, it wasn't a complete conversion. The Rambam's lashon is hareyu ki yisrael b'miktzas. That's the Rambam's lashon in the Yad Chazaka. But every single eved that now was sold into slavery, but to a yid, by definition, he had to go through a geirus process. For starters, he needed to have bris milah. So he immediately went through a geirus process. That's why an eved kenani is chayiv in mitzvahs like a woman. Lo la meisha. Right? Why is he chayiv in mitzvahs? What shaychus? He's an eved kenani. So why should he suddenly be chayiv? Oh, the reason is because he's a yisrael b'miktzas. So because he's a yisrael b'miktzas, he's chayiv in mitzvahs. B'miktzas. An Eved Kenani is not just an employee. He's not a goita. An Eved Kenani is a Yisrael B'miktzas. He actually went through some conversion. So what it says in the Torah, kol b'necha lo yoichal, doesn't mean Eved Kenani. He's not a benecher. He's a shtickle of yid. When it says in the Torah, kolor lo yoichel, he's not an aro liyad brismila. So an Eved Knani went through a conversion, and that's why we're having this conversation. That's why we have sugyas and shas that talk about the Eved Knani eating from the... He's not the arma that the Gemara talked about in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. That person was a shegetz. That person was not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. The Eved Knani is allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach because he's the Yisrael b'miktzas. But either way, the Mishnah said that Eved shel shnei shutfin, if you have an Eved that belongs to two partners, so then the halacha is lo yoichal mishel shnei. He can't eat from either one of them. He gets blacked out completely from the Karban Pesach, which is a little bit of a chiddush. So the Gemara says, Rami le Rav Inna Sabda Rav Nachman. Inna Sabda asked Rav Nachman the following question. Now we learned in our mission, Eved shel shnei shutfin lo yoichal mishel shnei. For Tanya, we learned in a braisa that says not that way. It says, Ratzim yizeh oichal, Ratzim yizeh oichal. If he wants, if he could eat from either one of the Karbanos Pesach. Why would the Mishnah say he can't eat from any of the Karbanos? And besides, it's inconsistent with a braisa. Amalais Rav Nachman told Rav Inna Sabda. He said, Eina Sabda. Okay. But Amrila, some say he told him, Pasya uchma. Black vessel. Miniu minach testayim shmaitza. Between your question and my answer, we'll be able to understand the sugya. Masnisa but the kapte adadi, braisa the loy kapte adadi. The Mishnah is talking about where you have partners that are makbid on each other. They don't want to benefit from each other. So this is an interesting relationship. But Reuven and Shimon are shutfin, and Reuven doesn't want to have anything to do with Shimon, and Shimon doesn't want to have anything to do with Reuven. I hope they have a good operating agreement. But this is their deal, and they just don't want to have anything to do with each other. So over here, if this person's now going to eat this Eved from Reuven's Karban Pesach, Shimon's going to be benefiting from it. Because Shimon's Eved just ate a Kezayas bus or half a Kezayas from a Shittif. And this is not something that he wants. And vice versa is going to be the same thing. So it's for that reason the Mishnah says he can't eat. Because there's a Kpeda. You want to know what the halach is if there's no Kpeda? If things are normal? Yeah, price of the Lekapti Adadi. In that case, it's not going to be a problem. Then the Mishnah concludes with the infamous Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin. So whenever the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin comes into a Gemara, you know, there's raid, and there's Menchas Chinuchs, and there's Toisfuses, and there's a lot going on. But either way, said the Mishnah, what happens if you have the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin? Said, then the Allah is lo yoichel misharavi. So again, just to review, what's the Chatzi Eved? How do you become a Chatzi? You're not born a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin. Maybe. But how do you become a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin? So this is an Eved Kanani who was sold to two partners. And one of the partners freed him. So the partner that freed him made now the half of this person into a Chatzi Ben Chayrin. The partner that didn't free him, so he still has him, so he still has his avdos. So this person ends up being a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin. So the Mishnah says that what's the halacha of a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin? Lo yoichal mishel rabbis. If his master shechts the Karban Pesach on his behalf, and he forces him ke'ilu to now be part of his, unless he consents, unless he signs off on it, that halach is he won't be able to eat from the Karban Pesach. Why would you think he could? Because he's a Chatzi Eved. And as we see, the Odoin has control over his Eved Kanani. He doesn't need his consent to make him one of the Minuyin on his Karban Pesach. So why doesn't it ultimately work? The reason is because he's also a Chatzi Ben Chayrin. And because he's a Chatzi Ben Chayrin, so he's excluded from this. It says the Gemara. It sounds like Mishal Rabbah Hudu Lo Yoichel. He only can't eat from his masters. Avul Mishal Atzma Yoichel. But if he would want to go and bring his own Karban Pesach, that yeah. Right? Because if this person can't eat from any Karban Pesach, then what should the Mishnah have said? What it said by the Eved Shel Shnei Shutfin. Eved Shel Shnei Shutfin Lo Yoichel Mishal Shnei. He cannot eat from the Karban Pesach. Misha Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin Lo Yoichel Mishal Rabbah. If he can't even eat from his own Karban Pesach, then say better. Say that he can't eat at all. So it's a good deal. Says the Gemara. So you see from here, it's only me, Rabbi, that he can't eat. But from himself, he can. We have a brisa that says before she's not allowed to eat from any of the Karbanos Pesach. So the Gemara says, like Kasha, Kan Commissioner Rishoyna, Kan Commissioner Achroyna. This is a very important piece. Every time the Gemara talks about the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin, you have to know, is it before or is it after? So before what and before after? We're about to see. But is it the Mishnah Rishoyna or is it the Mishnah Achroyna? So what does this mean? What was this life-changing event that would change the fate of every Chatzi Eved and Chatzi Ben Chayrin? So the Gemara says it was an exchange between the Talmidim of Hillel and the Talmidim of Shammai. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah, the very beginning of Masechtas Chagiga. Mishnah Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin, and Masechtas Gittin. This comes up in a bunch of places. Oy, this Rabbi Yoimechad, that's Atzma Yoimechad. If someone's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin, so what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to work for himself one day, and he works for his master. So Sunday he works for himself, Monday for his Odin, Tuesday for himself. Right? He's a chatz. Different base. That's what he says. Bishamay said, the Kantim is Rabbi. But it's Atzma Yoimechad, the Kantim. It's very nice. You worked out all the financial issues. Meaning, like this, you just, you split it in half. It's not a big deal. But what's this person supposed to do? What about his personal life? Lisa Shivchini Yach. This person can't marry a Shivcha. Now, an Eved Kanani is allowed to marry a Shivcha, but a Ben Chayrin is not allowed to marry a Shivcha. Shekvar Chatzi Ben Chayrin. Now, Lisa Baschayr Meni Yachel. He can't marry a Baschayr. Why not? Shadani Chatzi Eved. Because he's a Chatzi Eved. Now, you bottle. Should he not get married? That's not an option. Because Valoy Nivra Oilam Ela Priv Shenema. Because Yeshaya Novi said, Lysovara, Lishavis Yitzar Ela. So, what do we do? Kaif Nipne Tikuna Oilam. Simply for tikkun ha'olam, so this person should be able to get married koifen as rabbi. We force his master Isa ben Chayrin, and he needs to free the chatzi eved. The koisev shtar al chatzi domov. This is the rest of the story. But at the same time, he gets a note. So he basically gets a shtar that says that at some point you owe me the balance. You know, make up the money, and when you're able to pay me back, because I just freed you, so I don't have to take the financial hit. And that's really what he's supposed to. So it was a machoyv mishayim besil. How you treat the chatzi of the chatzi ben chayrin? Beisul said, "What's the big deal? Let him work for himself one day. Let him work for his other the other day." Bishama said, "It's very nice. Tikantem as rabbi. From the rabbi's perspective, the world is perfect. But that's atzmai loy tikantem. But what about his personal life? He can't get married. Why can't he get married? Because to marry a shivcha, he's a chatzi ben chayrin, and to marry a bas chayrin, the bas chayrin can marry him because he's a chatzi eved. So what do you do? Kaifin as rabbi, you force the master. V'chazru beisul lahayris kliver beishama. And when Beisul heard Beishama's argument, they came around. So in the world of Beis Hillel, there was a before and after. Beis Shammai was consistent. Beis Shammai always held that what do you do with the chetzi of the chetzi min chayr? You force the master to frame. But in Beis Hillel, there was seemed to be a confusion. They used to think they were formally of the opinion that let him remain a chatzi eved chatzi min chayr. For Chazur Beisul Hayris Kedivrei Beis Shammai, they came around and they said, "I agree. What the right thing to do is you're supposed." So again, every time you see a chatzi eved chatzi min chayr, the Gemara does this often. Is this the Mishnah Rishon? Is the Mishnah Achrayna? Is this before Beisul came around to Beis Shammai, or is this after Beisul came around to Beis Shammai? What does that have to do with our sugya? We have a stira chatzi eved chatzi min chayr when it comes to the Karban Pesach. What did the Mishnah say? Mishal Rabbi Hu Dlo Yoichel Avol Mishal Atzma Yoichel. We have a brisa that said Lo Yoichel Lo Mishal Levish Lo Mishal Atzma. For the Gemara, like Asha, can Commissioner Rishayna, can Commissioner Achrayna. What's the Teretz? The Teretz is the Mishnah that says that Lo Yoichal Mishal Rabbi Avon Mishal Atzma Yoichal is talking about the Mishnah Achrayna. It's talking about after Beis Hillel came around to Beis Shammai that what we do is we force the master to free this chetzi of chetzi mincharim. So what? Being that we're going to force the master to free this fellow, we look at him right now as if he's a fartig of Ben Chayrin. And if we look at him now as if he's a Ben Chayrin could bring his own Karban Pesach, he could also bring his Karban Pesach. The Braisa that said that Lo Yoicha Lo Mishal Atzmai V'Lo Mishal Rabbi, that's talking about before Beis Hillel came around. Where if you would have asked Beis Hillel, what should you do with the Chatzim of Chatzim Ben Chayrin? So he'll apply in a batlin. That's what you're supposed to do. You have no choice. Because that's the halacha. If his master is kind enough and he wants to free him, that's wonderful. But we can't force his hand. It's not something we have a right to do. So right now, he is, for the foreseeable future, a chetzi v'chetzi mechar. Chetzi v'chetzi mechar. He has no way of bringing the Karban Pesach. Because he's stuck. And he can't be yotze with his master. Why not? Because he's a chetzi ben chayr. Now he could if he agrees. But without agreeing, he can't be yotze because he's a chetzi ben chayr. And he can't bring his own because he doesn't own himself to be able to bring his own. He's also a chetzi evan. And as a result, Allah is lo yoichal, lo mishal atzmai, v'lo mishal achem. We're not going to talk about this today. But every time the Gemara talks about the chetzi evan, chetzi ben chayr in Shas, you have the same exact toisus. Same toisus. And this toisus is one of the most famous toisus in Shas. In terms of raid, for sure. Ned is Tois asks Sakashi, he says, "I don't understand this whole issue. Right, we have this problem, the Chatzib Chatzib and Chatzib, we don't know what to do with him." He says, "Very simple answer, let him get married." "What's the problem?" "What do you mean? You said the Lisa Shevchein Yachal, Lisa Bas Chayrin Yachal. Can't go, Ben Chayrin can't marry a Shevcha, a Bas Chayrin can't marry an Eved." Says Tois, "What's the problem? There's a mitzvah sase in the Torah of Pru Revu. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Sefer HaChinuch. Yovei asei de pruvu, v'yidcha lav de lo yikadesh." Why don't we say asei deicha lois asei? Any lois asei that you're worried about that's going to happen through this marriage, let that say a pruvu, be deicha de lois asei. Tosfos discusses this. He says a whole bunch of terutz, and each one of Tosfos says Terutzim has literally piles and piles of rate. Not for today. Zok the Mishnah Vayta. If somebody tells his Eved, say v'shachit alayas haPesach, go shecht for me the carbon Pesach. So somebody told his Eved to shecht the carbon Pesach on his behalf. Shachat gidi, if he shechted a goat, yoichal, he should eat it. Shachat le, if he ate it, if he shechted a sheep, yoichal. Shachat gidi vitle, what if he shechted a gidi and a tle, yoichal menorishin, then he should eat from whichever one he shechted first. So the carbon Pesach was able to be brought either from a gidi or from a tle, either from a goat or from a lamb. So if someone tells his Eved shecht the carbon Pesach, if he told him, if he went and he shechted a gidi, then that's fine. If he shechted a tle, that's also fine. What if he shechted a gidi and a tle? Whichever he shechted first. What if the Eved doesn't remember what his master told him? Meaning he told him specifically either a gdi or a tle, but he can't remember. Kesi asked, what should he do? Yishchit tle. He should shecht both. He should make the following tonight. Im gdi amali rabbi. If my Rebbe told me to shecht the gdi, then gdi shaloi. The gdi is going to be for him. But tle shali, I'll have the tle. Fin tle amali rabbi. And if my master told me to shecht a tle, then hatle shaloi, the tle is going to belong to the adoin. Figdi shali, and the goat's going to belong to me. Shachach rabbi my amalai. What if even the rabbi, the adoin, everybody forgot? No one has any clue. The Eved doesn't remember, and the adoin doesn't remember. They know there was a conversation. They stipulated exactly what it should be, but they can't remember. So halach nishneim yotzal lebeis asrei. If you have no choice, everything's going to end up in the beis asrei. Between last pesach sheni, they'll be put from last pesach sheni. That's going to be the topic of tomorrow's daf. So to gemara pshit. And the first halacha of the Mishnah seems so obvious. Someone told his Eved, go shecht the carbon Pesach on my behalf. Okay. Shachat gidi, yoichal. Shachat le, yoichal. What's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, no. Shachat gidi, yoichal, afalgaf the rogo betle. Shachat le, yoichal, afalgaf the rogo bigdi. Meaning, it's talking about where this Adon either used to always eat tle, this is his food that he likes, or he's no easy to gdi. So somebody tells his Eved, go shecht a carbon Pesach on my behalf. And he likes tle. And the Eved went and he shechted gdi. Now the reason he thought he could shecht the gdi is because the Adi never told him shecht tle. So he goes and he shechted the gdi. I would add a havamina, that being that he usually eats tle, even though he didn't say tle, it's as if he said tle, he should have to shecht tle. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah was, shachat gdi vitle. Yoichal menarishin. So again, someone told this Eved, go shecht the carbon Pesach on my behalf, and he shechted a gdi and a tle. So what's the halacha? The halacha is he ends up eating the first one. So Gemara has a problem with this. The halacha is that you can't be part of two karbonis Pesach. You can only be part of one carbon Pesach, which means the gdi and the tle can't both be on behalf of the adoin. Only one of them can. So if that's the case, we don't know which one. So why are we simply saying the first one? So Pashit, you could say that the reason we're assuming the first one is because, I don't know, if he never told him anything, let's just assume that he wanted the first one. But the Gemara feels that you can't make that assumption. Because the truth is, people have strong opinions as to what they want to eat for dinner. And just because it was the first one he shechted, it should necessarily be the first one. What's this halacha of Yoichal min Arisha? So the Gemara says, it's true. Most people have strong opinions as it relates to what they want to eat. But there are people that don't have such strong opinions. And our mission is referring to such people. Who are they? A rather dramatic example. Vasnisen b'melech u'malka. We're talking about the king and the queen. V'hotanya. And we learned in a braisa, this is not a v'hotanya b'losh and pitmiya. This is a v'hotanya b'nichusa, a braisa that supports this point. The braisa says as follows. Ein nimnen al shnei psachim kechad. You can't be part of two karbanas pesach. Maisa, there was a story, b'melech u'malka shamu l'avdeh. The king and the queen told their respective slaves, tzu v'shichtu aleinu es ha-pesach. Go shecht the carbon pesach on our behalf. V'yotzu v'shachtu aleinu shnei psachim. And they shecht the two karbanas pesach. V'shvel v'shalu es ha-melech. They asked the melech, which one would you prefer? Amalehem, I honestly don't care. L'chu v'shalu es ha-malka. Go ahead and ask the malch. Meaning the question was, which carbon pesach are you supposed to eat? And that was the question, not which one do you want. But the question was, which carbon pass? I mean, they shechted both. And they asked them, okay, which one should you take? And he got a little uncomfortable because he knows you can only be part of one carbon Pesach. And he didn't know which carbon Pesach is the one. So he said, I don't know, go ask the queen. So it seems the queen was a bigger lamb than he was.
But I'll tell you the truth, I don't know the answer either. Go ask Rabbi Gamliel. They asked Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel told him, Malka u'melech the daitun kala aleim yoichlu min arishin. The Malka and the Melech that are daitun kala, they should eat from the first one. So what does it mean, daitun kala? What it means is, she'emakpidim, Rashi says, imgdi intle. They don't really care if it's a gdir or a tle. I mean, they don't care if it's a gdir or a tle, so they can end up eating from the, they should end up eating from the first one, meaning anan. However, people like us that we do care what we eat. Loynoicha loymin arishoyin for loymin hasheni. So again, what was the question? The question was, what's this methodology with the first one? Like, who says the first one has any significance? The answer is, ordinarily, the first one wouldn't, because usually you'd want to know from the person what he was really thinking. But the Melech and the Malku don't really care. Daitun kala aleihem, it really makes no difference. So then we need to come up with some way of figuring this out. So how are we going to figure it out? By simply saying the first one. So we mentioned the story with the Melech and the Malk and Rabbi Gamliel. So we're going to tell another story. There was once a halta. Halta is a lizard. It's one of the Shmoyne Shrutzim. So what's the halacha? The Shmoyne Shrutzim, if they're dead, the halacha is they convey tomo. One of the Avayis HaTumah. So they found a halta in the Beis HaMitbachayim, in the kitchen. And there was a big feast going on. And they wanted to make the whole Suda Tame. They came and asked the king, what's the halacha? He says, the halacha questions, they all go to the Rebbetzin. So they went to the queen. This is also above my pay grade, she said. And this is something you have to ask Rabbi Gamliel. They went to Rabbi Gamliel. He says, tell me, when you found this in the kitchen, was it hot or was it cold? No, it was in boiling water. He said, pour some cold water on it. You'll see what's going to happen. They went, they poured this cold water, started moving. It was still alive. And Rabbi Gamliel was mitayed al suda nimsa, and the oilam went around saying like this, melech tali b'malka. The king was clearly dependent on the queen, certainly when it comes to halachic issues. V'nimtzis malka tuli b'Rabbi Gamliel. And the queen, she had to come on to Rabbi Gamliel, and nimtzis kala suda tuli Rabbi Gamliel. And the whole suda was tuli in Rabbi Gamliel. One last gemara. So the gemara says, what happens if the eved doesn't remember what his master told him? Shachach my amalai. Doesn't remember if he told him a gdi or if he told him a tle. So what should he do? He should shech the gdi, and he should shech the tle. And he should make the tenai. If my adon told me gdi, the tle is mine. If he told me tle, then the tle is his, and in the reverse. So the Gemara says, Shali, what is this Eved is, he's a mechitin over here? He's swiping his own credit card. He's buying his own carbon pesach. Masha kona Eved, kona rabbi. I mean, this is Avdus 101. So how's he even able to do this? I'm Rabbaya. So Rabbaya says, no, you're right. You have to make a little bit of an akimta. What he should do is he should go to the shepherd that his adon frequents. The nichale betakanta the rabbi, who's going to be looking out for the benefit of his master. Meaning, really, he doesn't have money. He can't buy an animal. He can't really do this. You know, a person maybe should, the Eved is in a compromised position. He has no way of doing this. But what he could do is he can be in cahoots with the Roya, the shepherd, the meat supplier of his boss. He can go over to him and he can say, listen, boss, I have a little bit of a situation here. Because at the end of the day, my master needs a carbon pesach. He has no way of doing it. The only way is with a tenai. I don't have anything because I'm an Eved. But if you have makne to me, al menashe ein l'rabbi reshuspa, then it's possible. There's a possibility he's going to be in agreement to it, and that's what the Mishnah was referring to. But you're right, without coming up with this knach, there's no way it would be able to work exhale. So just to end today's daf with one light ha'ara, and that is, the Gemara began with Psukim in Sefer Hosea. And the Gemara mentioned the idea that when the Yidden went to Golos, they went to Golos for the first time to Bava. The question is why? And different Amiram gave different suggestions why the first Golos, the first exile that the Yidden was sent into was Bavel. Reb Chiya said, the reason is because the Babylonians were never that terrible to the... They were bad, but not like the people in Edom were. And Yodea Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael She'eni Yechayim Kabel Gzeres Achzarius Edom Lefichach Hegla Oysam LeBavel. And that's why Hashem sent him to Bavel. Rabbi Lazar said the reason is no, because Bavel was very deep. It was Amuka like the Sha'ol. And the Yidden had this promise Miyat Sha'ol Efdei Mimavas Agolim. And therefore Hashem wanted them to be in a place where this could play. Rabbi Chanina said because the language that the Babylonians spoke was Aramaic. It's very similar to Lashon Kodesh, right? When you learn Gemara, it's very similar to learning Chumash. Not the same language, but it's Karoif. It's similar. And because it's similar, so he felt it would be easy for them to be able to adapt it. Ula said it's because they had dates. Do a tomorrow in there. And if you have tomorrow, you'll be able to learn Torah. But Rabbi Yochanan said something fascinating. Rabbi Yochanan said the reason the Yidden went to Bavel, and nothing to do with practicalities, and nothing to do with the Babylonians and their policy towards the Jews versus some of the other nations. But the reason the Yidden went to Bavel is that's where they belong. Mipnei sheshigron lebeis iman. Because they went back to their mother's house. Mashal Adam shakas al ishtoi. Rabbi Yochanan said it could be easily understood with a mashal. There was a married man who was upset at his wife, and he sent her out of the house. So lehecha mishagra, where would he send her? The Beis Ima, to her mother's house. And that's exactly what Hashem did to the Yidden. Hashem took the Yidden, he brought them into Eretz Yisrael. They sinned. It was time to send them away. It was time to send them to Golas. So where did they go when it came time to go to Golas? They went to Beis Ima. Where was Beis Iman? Bavel. Why was Bavel Beis Iman? So we spoke at Rashi where we went through the daf. Four words. Avram Or Kazdim Yatza. Because Avram Avinu came from Or Kazdim. Or Kazdim, that's Bavel, that's Iran, that's that region. And Avram Avinu came from Or Kazdim, which is Bavel. Avram Avinu is where the story of the Jewish people begins. If that's the case, it's the proverbial Beis Iman of the Jewish people, and therefore, when it came time for the Yidden to be sent out of Eretz Yisrael, Shigron the Beis Iman, Mashal the Adam Shekas al Ishdoi Lehechan Mishagra, the Beis Iman. I think that this Gemara, which is tucked away in a little bit of Agadato in Masechtas Pesachim Daf Pezayin of the days, is perhaps very insightful in terms of us being able to understand a little bit a certain element of Jewish history. The Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubas, Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, Reb Zeira have a kamishtamit minei de Rav Yehuda. Reb Zeira was a Talmud Rav Yehuda, and he was trying to avoid Rav Yehuda. And the reason is the boy lemesek l'Eretz Yisrael, because Reb Zeira wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So why do you have to avoid Rav Yehuda? Am Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said, Kala oylem yibavel Eretz Yisrael oivibaseh. If anybody goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he violates Aloy Sase. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Yirmiyo perich av zayin. Bavelo yuvo, now, Pasha Pshat, that Pasuk is referring to the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. When Nebuchadnezzar and his army destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they took the Kalim with them to Bavel. By the way, that's why Achashverosh in the Purim story, when he made his big Suda, and he makes this big party, so he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Where did he have the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash? Because the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash were giganvit by Nebuchadnezzar. And when the Persian and the Mede army defeated the army of the Babylonians, they took with them all those Kalim. And that's how Achashverosh had the Kalim. But the point is, the Kalim were taken to Bavel. And the Pasuk says, Bavel yuvo, they would remain in Bavel. V'shama yiyu ad yoyim pakti yoysam no'om Hashem. Stating that, Rav Yehuda understood Al derech drush, the Pasuk is saying something else. What the Pasuk is saying is Bavel Yuvo, not the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Jews themselves. The Yidden are going to go to Bavel, and they're going to remain there at Yoyim Pakti Yoysam, until they're redeemed. Which means, until the Geula happens, the Yidden have to remain in Bavel. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion, that if a Yid goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he's over by Aseh. Shenema Bavel Yuvo, v'shama Yu, at Yoyim Pakti Yoysam. So Rabbi Zeir wanted to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So he had no choice. He had to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda wasn't going to be in agreement. Why? Because he held you violating a principle in the Torah. Bavel Yuvo, v'shama Yu, at Yoyim Pakti Yoysam, no Masha. Toistvis asks a bombakasha. He says, the Pasuk says that Bavel Yuvo, the Yidden are going to go to Bavel, the way Rabbi Yehuda understood the Pasuk, and they're going to remain there at Yoyim Pakti Yoysam, until the Geula happens. Right, the Geula happened. The Yidden were in Bavel for how long? For 70 years. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was built. That means the Yoyim Pakti happened. So if it happened, Rav Yehuda and Rav Zeira were Amoraim. They lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after Churban Bayit Shni. Right, the second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years. This is hundreds of years after the Churban. It's almost 1,000 years later. Why are they still having this conversation? But Vela Yuvol V'Shama Yu Ad Yoyim Pakti Oysam Numa Hashem said Rav Yehuda. Or as a result, no. You can't go to Eretz Yisrael because you have to be in Bavel. Why? Because there was a Nevuah that said you're going to have to remain in Bavel until the Geula. The Geula happened. The Gula happened. Galus Bavel was 70 years. Then the Yidden went back to Eretz Yisrael. The next Galus ended up in Edom. So what's the issue? Says Tosfos, Yesh Loimar, the Begolus Sheini Nami Kapit Kra. It's true. The Pasuk really means Galus Bavel. Or Yesh Loimar, that it means also the Galus Sheini. And the truth is, Tosfos Pell, why? Why would you think that? Galus Rishon, I understand. Bavel Yuvel, Vashama Yid. That was Galus. It was Galus Bavel. So there was a decree that the Galus had to be in Bavel. But why would you think that Galus Sheini, that after Churban Bayit Sheni, there's an idea that the Yidden still have to remain. So over the years, we've mentioned many times that this, of course, can be understood with what the Svarim say, that even though the second Beis HaMikdash on some level was a Zman of Geula, but wasn't really a Zman of Geula. As the Gemara says, that throughout the 420 years of Churban Bayit Sheni, they were under the governance of different kings, and it was never a real Geula. V'haraya, Golus Yavon, the whole Golus Yavon happened during Bayit Sheni, the whole Hanukkah story, that wasn't really a Zman of Geula. So maybe the real Yom Pakti Yosem Om Hashem isn't something that happened. But again, that's a raid that we've spoken about in the past. But I think based on this Gemara, maybe the Pshat's Pashat. The Pshat is because just like the Yid's home is Eretz Yisrael, and that's where a Yid belongs in a Zman of Geula, the Yid has a home away from home. A Yid has a home when he's in Golus. And you know what that home is? It's Beis Iman. And Beis Iman of the Yid is Bavel. And Rabbi Yochanan said that's why the first Golus was in Bavel. It wasn't because of all these ulterior reasons. It was Pashit. That's where the Yid belongs. Mashal and Melech, L'shekos al-ishtoi, L'hecha mishagra, L'beis ima. Bavel is the bias of the Yid. It's not its Iker home, but it's Beis Iman. That's where we grew up. That's where we all started. And you see, it's not an arbitrary point. I'll get punked. That's where this, who cares? Why does that matter? What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan said, that's why Golus was in Bavel. It was in Bavel with a cheshbin, because that's where the Yid belongs when he's in Bavel. So Rabbi Yehuda held that if Golus Rishon was in Bavel, why was it in Bavel? Because that's where the Yid belongs. Lehecha mishagra lebeis ima. Because Avram Yor Kazdim Yatza. So Golus Sheni belongs, has to be there as well. And that's why if Bavel Yuvol v'sham, how did the Yom Pakti happen? Bayis Sheni was the Yom Pakti Yosem Nom Hashem. But if Golus Rishon belonged there, then it couldn't be. That's why Golus Sheni belonged there as well. The truth is that if you think of the Jewish history in Bavel is very, very different than the Jewish history anywhere else. Right? We've bounced around. We've been malin at tzoitzis literally from every corner of the world at this point. But the truth is that we had a much better run in Bavel than we had. The Yidden arrived in Bavel for the first time after Churban Bayis Rishon. And believe it or not, people don't realize this, there were Jewish communities, thriving Jewish communities in Bavel up until the middle of the 20th century. That's how long that stretch was. Completely, it's an incredible anomaly, right? How long were the Yidden in Spain? How long were the Yidden in Poland? How long were the Yidden in Germany? It didn't last very long. Bavel, we were there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Not only that, the Yidden thrived in Bavel for most of the time. The Zman, the Dor of the Amoraim, right? The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, there were three times where Torah was almost forgotten. And what did Hashem do? Sukkot Avchav Amaral. Hashem sent somebody from Bavel, Ezra, like the Gemara, and Avchav Amaral, to make sure that Torah wouldn't be forgotten. Because Torah thrived in Bavel. From Golus Bavel itself, when you had Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and then Daniel, and Mordechai HaTzadik, and you had all the great tzaddikim that lived in Bavel, and then you had the whole bias, that whole kufa, Torah was knacking over there. And then you had all the Amirav, and then you had the Ga'onim, Reb Sadi, all the Ga'onim that lived in Bavel. Think about what was going on in Bavel. It's incredible. Why Bavel? Why was it different? Why did we have such a run in Bavel? I think because Bavel is based Iman Shal Yisrael. That's really where the Jew belongs in Golus. It's a fascinating idea, but it's a Gemara. The Gemara says it's based Iman. The Yid doesn't belong in Poland. We don't belong in America. We're Nishtain, Nishtaer. We're not in Eretz Yisrael. We're not in Bavel. Right? But that's the truth. Our bias, of course, every Yid belongs in Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time, there's also a place of, there's an idea of there's a concept of Bavel Yuvah. I was thinking maybe Reb Zeir. Why did Reb Zeir want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Rav Zeir. So the Gemara says, because he held the pasuk really is only referring to the klisharis, but it could be there was an inyan of kol mashi yoyim alucha balabayis asay chutz mitzay. Bavelu yuvo v'shama yu ad yoyim pachti yoysom no mashem. I hear. You're sending me out of your head, I'm not leaving. Because you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say that the Torah of the Tanam, he referred to as Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of the Amiron, was Torah of Chutz La'aretz. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael was Torah of Sagu'ula. Because Eretz Yisrael, that's the Mokrim of Ge'ula. But the Torah of the Amiron, that was the Torah of Golos. But that's where it was. The Amiram, the Talmud Bavli, that's the Golos. That's Mekoymei Shal Yisrael B'Golos. That's what Bavel is. Eretz Yisrael, that's where the Yid is in this man of Gula. But either way, Bavel wasn't just an arbitrary place. It wasn't just puncta place. Lehecha Meshagra, Meshagra Be'Simoy. Moshe Lemelech Shekos Alishtoy. He sends it back to his mother's house. We have a special relationship, a special connection to Bavel. Talmud Bavli. I think that's why we thrive all these centuries in Bavel. Something that did not happen, nothing even close to it in any other area. Why? Because when a Yid is in Bavel, on some level, he's home. He's not home, but he's home away from home. Because that's where it all began. And the fact that that's where it all began, that means there's some connection between the Yid and Bavel. And maybe that explains Talmud Bavli, Tamayram, the Ge'onim, and this special place, ironically, that Bavel has in Jewish history.